Hello, beloved. This is Pastor Steve Castle. I'm so honored that you've chosen to listen to us today. If there's any additional information that you need, please visit our website at www.belovedchurchillinois.com. We thank you that you are continuing to give God an opportunity to minister to your hearts. He has amazing, wonderful plans for your life. We would love to join you on the journey of you finding out the depths of the relationship that you could have with Him. You were created in His image for a beautiful purpose, and He wants to show you that purpose. We continue to believe God with you and for you to accomplish that goal. If you're in the area, please stop by. Remember, at Beloved Church, this is the place where you are greatly loved. God bless you. Talk to you soon. Bye. And it says, life and death are in the power of the tongue. And those that eat it, or those that believe it, love it, are going to eat the fruit thereof. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. It doesn't say life, death, and then a bunch of other middle stuff. You know, and the first time that I got that I heard that, I think it was Andrew Womack said that, the first time that I heard that, I'm like, oh, whatever, dude. Not every single word that comes out of your mouth is life or death. I'm like, come on. Life or death, every word, every time? Come on, man. You're just taking this stuff way overboard. And so then the Lord wanted to give me a revelation of this, and so He showed me, because I had it come up in my spirit where Jesus said, every idle word, maybe I should give you the reference on that, every idle word that men speak, even Jesus says that you're going to have to give an account for those at the end days. Matthew 12:36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Jesus is even going to judge our idle words. And remember, you know, most people look at judgment as in a negative thing, but I want you to remember that judgment means justice. It means that it's what a judge does. When a judge sits behind his desk or whatever, and he's got his gavel, he will give a judgment. Sometimes those judgments are innocent, sometimes those judgments are guilty. But a judge, a righteous judge, will declare innocence or guilty based upon... And so your idle words are going to come under the gavel of either being innocent and proclaiming righteousness, or being guilty and proclaiming condemnation. Righteousness and condemnation are the two opposites. And so there is a judgment even on your idle words. And so the Lord gave me that to help verify that this is a true revelation, that every word that comes out of your mouth is either proclaiming life or it's proclaiming death. Because even the idle words that are coming out of your mouth, Jesus has a responsibility to judge and then to infuse with power, or to remove God's power from those words, which therefore by default puts it into the kingdom of darkness. Do you get that? So, most people say, well, you know, I was talking with so-and-so about the weather. So those are idle words, right? They're not producing life or death. I don't know, what'd you say? Well, you know, our weather stinks here in it. Anybody ever heard that one? What are you proclaiming? You're proclaiming death to the weather. And you know, look around the planet. If there's anything that's going on with the weather in our planet right now, it is under the curse. So many people are cursing the weather. Well, we got global warming, and we got, I mean, they are, you know, you can almost read a newspaper story that doesn't in some way infiltrate into it the global devastation being produced by our automobiles or whatever they're blaming, you know, that we breathe and we're releasing carbon dioxide. It's really apparent to anybody that's paying attention that our world is being affected by the death that our world is speaking over the planet. There's more tsunamis and earthquakes and hurricanes and all these kind of stuff. There's more now than ever in history. And it's not from El Nino. I don't want to get all off on the wrong subject here and take us out. But it's because of our words. If God created the planet and the weather systems with words, why do we think that it's going to be something else that's going to change it? It's words. It's our words. We are speaking life or death. You speaking about the weather is going to produce life or death. You know what you should do? We have great weather in northern Illinois. We have as much cold as we need in order for the ground to rest. We have as much sunlight as we need for the ground to be productive. We have as much rain as we need. Not too much, not too little. Why do you think floods happen in the same place all the time? Because people in flood places talk about floods. And they attract them. Man, I totally don't want to get off on... But I hear so many people, oh, you live in Pearl City, there's floods. And I say, no, it doesn't flood. The Army Corps of Engineers been down the creek. They've done some work on the creeks. I said, on top of that, I don't believe it. I don't believe that we live in a floodplain. I believe that God is going to produce in our area economic development opportunities for people and not death and destruction. And so I'm going to speak life. If we do have a lot of rain, I'm going to say in the name of Jesus, it's going to get out the way it's supposed to get out. Amen. It can go flood the Gulf. They don't care. I mean, it's a bunch of water anyway. If you're not going to hurt nothing flooding the Gulf, there's a bunch of water already. Amen. Just go right on down to Mississippi, clean out the Mississippi to be a little less muddy. Everybody's happy. It's not a big deal. We can speak these things. We can proclaim these things. I've seen a video of a bunch of people standing there looking at a tornado that was coming right at them, big, huge tornado, and they all got together and they started praying and saying, in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, you go away. It was on video. And within 30 seconds, the tornado went, sucked back up in the air. Oh, what a coincidence. Yes, I know. What a coincidence. Could you imagine being standing on day one of all of creation and seeing God come down out of the heavens or wherever he came down and saying, light be. Can somebody say, wow, what a coincidence. God said light, and then all of a sudden it got bright. What an amazing coincidence. Our words carry power. Our words carry power, life or death. Just like God, we were created in God's image and God's likeness. What that means is, I don't look like God. What that means is, on the inside of me, I have the same God design that He has. I have divine opportunity with my mouth, with my life, with my surroundings, with my environment, with the Word of God. I have the same opportunities available to me that God does. I have the same faith that God does. Man, that's a whole nother subject. I don't want to preach on that. But it's not even your faith that you have. It's God's faith. That's why when you align your faith with God's Word, when you align your belief system with the way that God believes, you have now God power in your faith that produces the same things that God's faith produces. You know, God's faith produced salvation. It says in Colossians, it says that God believed in Jesus Christ. A whole nother sidebar as well, but could you imagine if God didn't believe in Jesus? We wouldn't have this great salvation. God's faith produced the power that made Jesus Christ capable of carrying out. Don't you remember in the garden how it was so weighty on our Lord that it literally put him on his knees sweating blood? God's faith has power. God releases his faith by his words. When he believes that you are going to accomplish what you were created for, it's called blessing. The word blessing just literally means to speak well of, to speak good of. Who's a good God? Come on now, I'm at the right church. Who's a good God? Our God. Our God is a good God. So when God speaks to you, he speaks of his nature. And so when he says, John, you are going to accomplish this task, you can either say, well, that sounds nice. That's really neat how my mind just conjured all that up. Yay. So anyway, I'm just going to go down about my life. You don't say that was the voice of God. God is a good God, therefore he's going to speak good things into my life. Him speaking good things or him blessing me, according to Ephesians 1:3, we've already been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. And so since we've already been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, God is going to speak reassurance and to speak validity and to speak encouragement and to speak exhortation to you so that you believe that that blessing is already positioned for your life, and then you believe it, that it's yours, and then you have it. Then you see it. Now, if you put that in context as to how you relate with your word, with your mouth, with your world, with your mouth, you can see the things that you produce. Hey, you know what you, if you want stupid kids, you know what you should call them? Stupid. If you want your kids to always make mistakes, if you want your kids to always be doing the wrong thing, always tell them that they're making mistakes. Always tell them that they're doing the wrong thing. Always tell them that they'll never be something. They'll never... I've been ministering in a jail for quite some time now, and I've ministered over hundreds of guys. And I've not one time yet in the jailhouse have ministered to a guy one-on-one where I've asked him about his background. Not one guy yet, not one single one, hundreds of guys have I found who said, you know what, my parents are married, happily married, and they're both Christians, and we went to church in our life, and I just made a mistake, and here I am in jail. Not one time, hundreds of guys, not one time. Go look at the stats. Go read Barna surveys. If a child grows up in a godly home that prays together, that love each other, that are happily married, the likelihood of that child producing that kind of life for themselves in the future is like 96%. It's almost perfect. There's a few anomalies in there, but it's almost perfect. You just can't. You grow somebody up in that. You speak well of. You bless. You encourage somebody. You add divine inspiration and goodness and godliness into a person's life. You are always going to have that opportunity available to you. But the other side is true as well. Deuteronomy 30:19 says, "Behold, I want you to take record of." You know what God's saying? Get your notepad out and write this down. I'm calling heaven and earth. Everybody in heaven, don't you know when God says, I call heaven and earth to record, don't you know every angel said, whoa, write it down. Let it be written on the scrolls. God said, I'm calling heaven and earth to record this day. Look, behold, see, I have placed before you blessing and curses. It's before you. It's not before God. God is a good God. God is a blessing God. Everything God says, everything God does is according to the blessing. It's according to goodness. It's according to love. It's according to grace because that's who He is. These things are not placed before God. God does not have to wake up, quote unquote, every day and say, well, do I choose the blessing today or do I choose the curse? You know, if one time, if God says, if he woke up and he was just in a bad mood, which I don't get it, how you can just wake up and be in a bad mood. But anyway, if God just woke up one day in a bad mood and he just says, ah, you know what, them stupid humans. Dennis read it. Two immutable things. God cannot lie. You know, if God says those stupid humans, guess what? We're all catching a drool in a cup. Amen. You don't have two working brain cells at the same time. God can't say that. If God ever said that about you one time, you're never going to make it. You can't have it. You're not smart enough. You're not good enough. You're not capable. One time, if God ever said that one time, that's it. So what does He say? He's always encouraging. He's always saying, you are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. I'm well pleased in you. Well pleased. Well pleased. There's nobody like you. I created you unique. I created you with value. I created you on purpose. There's none like you. No, not one. I have the hairs of your head numbered. For some of us, that's a big number. For some, it ain't. Amen. Amen. For some of us, the number just changes in its location. The hair goes from one, whatever that's all about. Amen. Praise God. But you know, He's got those numbers. You don't even know how many hairs you have. God is more intimately involved with your life than you are. You know, He has your name inscribed on His hand. He knows every tear you've ever shed. everyone. And why? God knows you. God wants to speak well of you. He wants you to recognize that before you is a road that has two ways. That is the road of blessing and the road of cursing. What is the way? How do you produce the bricks that you walk on your road? You release them from your mouth. You are speaking your road into position, into place right now. You are causing a road of blessing or a road of curses to show up in front of you right now with every word. Every word. Every word. Now, the point that I want to get to on this is, what are you producing in the relationships in your life? What are you speaking over the relationships in your life? Are you speaking every word producing life? What would you have if you had this moment right now, this second, everything in your relationship that you've said behind closed doors, would you have a blessing or curse? And it's really important. I call heaven and earth a record right now, this day, and I'm prophesying this to you right now. I'm calling heaven and earth a record this day, in December, in 2014, that you have before you right now blessings and curses. Life or death. Choose life, because it's going to affect you and the generations that follow you, both you and your seed forever. We have so many opportunities available to us. You don't even have to have these great, deep preacher revelations. You don't even have to have the Bible memorized verbatim. You don't have to have great amounts of wealth. You don't have to have amazing opportunities that nobody else has. You can actually just start from right here and start speaking these things into your life, into your surroundings, into your children, into your relationships, and start reaping the benefits of the world that is placed before you through your mouth. Do you want the kingdom of God placed before you and before these relationships? Or do you just want what everybody else has? Do you sound like the news? Do you sound like the radio guy? Do you sound like everybody else at work? Do you have the same language? Do you talk about the same things? Can you spend 2 hours talking about a one-hour television show? But look, I used to do this. I watched TV before, you know. Then I got born again. But we used to stand around at work. You know, when I was watching TV, one of the things, American Idol first came out when I started watching TV. And I remember it because we actually watched a couple of episodes. It was Kelly Clarkson, I believe. And so we would stand around. I remember on purpose, I went into a restaurant. It was about 7, 8 o'clock in the morning. And all the gals, all the wait staff were standing around, and they were talking about Kelly Clarkson, how beautiful she was, how great her voice was, how neat this show was, and she's gonna, I don't even think she won yet. I think it was everybody, because I think Kelly Clarkson was from Texas, right? But anyway, she was from there, so everybody was rooting for her there in Texas, and she's gonna win and all that. And so I joined in. I'm like, yeah, I think she's awesome too. She's got a really pretty voice. And I went back in the back and started doing my office stuff. And I was doing all my stuff, making all my calls. I came back out like at noon, and they were talking about Kelly Clarkson. 4 hours later, after a one-hour TV show. Am I the only one that's catching on to it? They talked for 4 hours about a one-hour television show. But yet they're the same people that I'd say, hey, you know, what does this Bible verse mean to you? Oh, well, I don't get the Bible. You don't get the Bible, but you can make 4 hours conversation out of a one-hour television show, and if you subtract the commercials off of there, it's only about a 40-minute television show. And if you subtract all the goofy judge stuff, It's only about a 20-minute television show. You could talk about for 4 hours, but I can give you one verse of Scripture that's 6,000 years old that's got literally the life and the ability of God in it, and you can't talk about that for 30 seconds. What's important? It's all about what's important in your life. I call heaven and earth a record before you this day that there are blessings and curses available. Zacharias experienced this firsthand. Zacharias is John the Baptist's daddy. When God needed to do what He needed to do in order to produce freedom for all of us, which was the great work of salvation, He came to Malachi 400 years before Jesus was born, before John the Baptist was born, and He told Malachi, I need you to prophesy some things. So Malachi prophesied them. And in the fourth chapter of Malachi, it goes through there and it's talking about the great salvation that's available to us. When He comes, He's going to be this. And there's going to be somebody that's going to lead the charge. He's going to come in the spirit and in the power of Elijah. There's going to be somebody that leads the charge before Jesus could come. In other words, there's going to be somebody that plows the field first for Jesus to come and lay the seed. I need you to get this. The gospel, the salvation that was made available to us through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ was only made available to us because John the Baptist plowed the way. Jesus Christ Himself said that John the Baptist, I think it's in Luke 11, said that John the Baptist was the greatest of all Old Testament prophets. Of any born of women, only the ones that were born of women. He was the greatest of all of those. I want you to get this. Jesus Christ, who was known as a prophet, said the greatest prophet to have ever come was John the Baptist. John the Baptist's ministry lasted 6 months. 6 months. And then he was in jail for 3 years. Then he was beheaded. John the Baptist's ministry was 6 months of ministry, 3 years of imprisonment, and martyrdom. And yet Jesus said he was the greatest of all Old Testament prophets. Why? Because if it wasn't for those 6 months of John the Baptist, who 30 years before that was prepping his entire life for the moment that he was going to be released, and then in 6 months he ministered to millions. And this isn't like today, where you could get on TV and talk to millions. This is then. They came to Him by the thousands and tens of thousands for Him to minister to them. He released into this world the plowing of the field that Jesus Christ could then eventually come and to sow the seeds into. If it wasn't for John the Baptist being successful at what he was called to do, Jesus Christ's ministry would not be as successful as it was. God said it. The last verse in the last chapter of the last book of the Old Testament is, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Jesus Christ was coming. Salvation was coming. And if the world did not receive Jesus, that was going to be a bad day. But if the world did receive Jesus, then salvation was coming with them. And then there'd be no curse. Galatians 3:13 says that Jesus was made a curse for us so that the blessings of Abraham might be given to us. So Jesus took the curse for us because the people of the planet received Jesus and received the ministry of reconciliation that He brought. If they wouldn't have received Jesus, they would not have received the ministry of reconciliation. In order to receive Jesus, they needed a John the Baptist. Man, I hope you get this. You are the one carrying Jesus. You are really, honestly, that's why Jesus said even the least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. Because you're carrying the ministry that ushers Jesus into other people's lives. Through your mouth, through your words, you are proclaiming. John the Baptist came to reconcile the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. Man, how beautiful is that? Jesus Christ came to reconcile mankind unto the Father. Praise God. The last verse of the last chapter of the last book is a curse. The last verse of the New Testament of the last book is, "And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." Amen. So be it. Because they received the ministry of Jesus Christ. They received the proclamations, the proclaiming. The words of Jesus Christ were received because John the Baptist plowed the ground. So look how important John the Baptist was. John the Baptist was so important that when Zacharias didn't believe that it was going to actually take place through him, because most scholars believe they were in their 80s, that he and his wife Elizabeth were in their 80s when Gabriel showed up to him and proclaimed that they were going to have a pregnancy in their old age, because they were righteous folks and God needed John the Baptist to come to righteous parents. That's important. Who would train him up probably in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, just like the Old Testament says. And he was going to be in the wilderness. He was not going to drink wine or strong drink. He was going to be a person that grew up humbly, that was dedicated unto the Lord. He needed parents that were going to be righteous enough to understand that the kingdom of God was way more important than learning how to play soccer. And so when Zacharias had Gabriel come to him and say, "You are going to have a child," Zacharias couldn't believe it. So he said, I think it's in verse 18, Luke chapter 1, I think it's verse 18 or 20, where it says that, "How is this going to be? I'm an old guy, and I got an old gal. There's no way." It's basically what he was telling the angel. You know what Gabriel said? "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. Don't you tell me what I came to tell you. I came to tell you that God said that this is the way it is, big boy. So here's the deal. Since you can't get on board with what we're going to do, hush. Shut thy mouth." That's how you say it in King James. You're not going to be able to talk. We're not going to give you the opportunity to... You know, if words were not important, what a big deal. So you can't talk. Don't you know Elizabeth, with every other gal on the planet, was like, "Whoop, whoop, shut my husband up. He ain't going to nag me one time." Amen. Thank you, Gabriel. You're a blessing. No, we don't see the importance here. Why was it so important for Zacharias to have his mouth shut? Because his belief system was not aligned with God's belief system, and his words could produce opposite effects of what God wanted. Man, I hope you get this. God has a desire for your life. He's got a destiny and empowerment that goes to your life. But if you don't correlate with His belief system about who you are and then release that from your mouth, you are going to sidetrack even what God Himself has designed for you to have. Oh, praise Jesus. That's a good... You need to get that. It's not just about God willing that you have a great life. That's great. And that's awesome. And that's more than you had before you knew Jesus. But that's not it. That doesn't just automatically make things come to pass in your life. You have to believe what God believes. You have to know what God knows. He will tell you. And then you have to correlate with Him with your speech. You have to speak with one voice. What He says, you say. What He declares, you declare. What He proclaims, you proclaim. Then you see what you say. When you have God's divine inspiration in your words that are correlated with His belief system, now you are speaking the oracles of God as a messenger of God. You literally become a carrier of God's divine power. What is an angel? What is their responsibility? It's to carry the words of God. Angels are... The word agalos in the New Testament actually means messenger. Agalos is translated angel. That's why in Revelations, the books are written to the angel of the church of Sardis, I say to you. The angel of the church of Ephesus, I say to you. The angel of... And he go, and it always threw me off. I'm like, God, why are you writing letters to angels? They're right there with you. You don't need to write them a letter. And then I looked it up. Angels is actually agalos. Agalos means messenger, overseer. He was writing the letters to the pastors. For those of you that have a problem with church government, God recognized that he had to get the messenger to the head first. Amen. So to the angel, to the messenger for the church at Sardis, I'm writing to you. To the messengers. God has a message that he needs us to deliver. What is an angel who has a rogue message? Lucifer. Lucifer. He's the only angel that ever delivered a rogue message that caused death, curses, destruction. You know, the accuser of the brethren is that rogue messenger. Who do you align yourself with when you curse somebody? Tell me again how unimportant your idle words are. When you're speaking to someone, you are releasing the power of God or not. And the opposite is what happened in the garden to all of mankind. That word messenger is used twice in the New Testament in 1 John. God knew that. That's why Zacharias had to hush. Zacharias knew, God knew that through Zacharias he could either get on board with the blessing of God that was going to bless all of mankind or not. How many times would you like God to come and give you like a little hush moment? Amen. So in 1 John chapter 5, chapter 1, verse 5. Really? This then is the message that we have heard from him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness. That word message is the root word that we get agalos, angel, messenger. It's agalia, I think. It's something like that. I don't know. I'm not Greek. So this is what the messenger, this is the message that the messengers have. This word was only used twice in the entire New Testament. God wanted us to only recognize two messages. Man, that is deep. There's only used twice. There's only two messages that he has the human race to carry. Message number one. God is light. He's a good God. There's no darkness in him. If you carry any other message into your world, it is anti-Christ. It is anti the message of God. Did Jesus ever, one time ever, say that the Father was wishy-washy? Say that the Father was mean. Say that the Father sometimes was dark, sometimes was light. Sometimes he's rough, sometimes he's nice. Sometimes he's love, sometimes he's hate. Jesus always displayed the Father in word and in action as him being a good God, a loving God, a Father who wants to take care of all of your needs, a Father who wants to embrace you, a Father who wants to provide for you, a good shepherd who knows where to take his sheep, so that they can drink well, they can eat well, they can be secure. They don't have any ravenous wolves coming in to eat them. He was always declaring the Father as a loving, good Father. There was one message that Jesus declared, that God is light. Are you declaring that message over people in your life? My wife is light. In her is no darkness at all. My children are light. In them is no darkness at all. None. Praise God. Bless and curse not. Jesus said, I think it's in Matthew chapter 12, it says, I want you to bless bless and curse not. Romans chapter 12. Let me look it up so I don't give you wrong. Romans chapter 12, verse 14, Paul tells us to bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Why curse not? That's not our message. We are not a rogue angel with a rogue message. We don't have the right to curse. You get that? You don't have the right to call somebody stupid. Remember Jesus said, don't say raca. Don't ever say raca to your neighbor. Don't ever call your neighbor a fool. Because you are going to position yourself for the fire of hell. I would like to make somebody raise their hand today, see if anybody's called anybody stupid even yet today. If I go back a week, we might find a few hands. Yet Jesus said, don't do it. You'll be in danger of hellfire. Well, you know, I mean, Jesus is always talking high and lofty stuff. You know, the Word of God is really cool when it benefits you, right? But when it wants you... When it challenges the way you believe or the way you act, you know, not so cool. When God said, this is how a relationship is supposed to work. Here's the dynamics of a successful relationship. Do this. Oh, Lord, you don't understand 2014. See, because in 2014, that's not how we roll. The way we have a relationship nowadays, you know, we do it through Facebook and text messages. That's how we have a relationship. We don't have to do that all weird stuff where we sit down and communicate and talk to each other, work out our problems. Because we can just curse and bless not. What do you know, Lord? You know, God's got this thing figured out. If we get on board with His plan, it'll work. So then Jesus also said in Luke 6:28, bless them that curse you. You know, here's Jesus just being weird again. You can't bless people that curse you. How do you do that? You're right. You can't do that in your natural person. In your natural person, you want to kill them when they curse you. But here's the trick. We're not just natural anymore. We're infused with God. We're infused with God's nature, God's spirit, God's ability, God's divine influence. We're not just human anymore. You know, there might be a human part of you that's immediately like, whoa, did you hear what they just said to me? Man, thank God I'm dead. Dear Jesus, in the name of, in your name, I'm going to bless them. I'm going to pray for them, and I'm going to do it on purpose. Because there's only one other message. There's only one other message that we have in this world. 1 John chapter 3. I know I got that one right. Verse 11. For this is the message. Remember, this Greek word was only used twice in the entire New Testament. The first message is God is light. God is good. The second message is we should love one another. We should love one another. It's the only two messages that are proclaimed by our Bible. We have a message that should go to all of mankind that says God is a good God. He's done everything He possibly could ever do to bring you into understanding His goodness. And I'm here as an angel of God, as a messenger of God, to tell you that I love you. And I'll help you get that message. If you're willing. How do you love me? You don't know me. I love you because God loved me before I knew Him. Well, that's a weird kind of love. You're right. It's not the kind of love that the world has. The world has performance-based love. The world loves you when you're lovable. God loves you because He sees your intrinsic value. I love you because I know that when you're filled with God, you have the most awesome opportunities that you could ever possibly imagine. You don't know me. You're right, I don't know you. And yet I still love you. We only have two messages. God is a good God. And we are loving one another. This is the why behind our message. If you go to somebody and you condemn them for their actions and you tell them about their sin and you tell them how they're going to destroy their life, did you deliver to them, God is a good God, and I love you? Or did you deliver to them, your sins are filthy, and nobody cares about you? Amen. That's really important, especially when you're dealing with people that are closest to you. when you're dealing with your family and your friends and the people that are the closest to you, and you condemn them, and you judge them, and you judge their actions? It does not align with the two messages that the New Testament has given us. God is a good God, and we have love one for another. We bless and we do not curse. We give people the opportunity that God gave us. God seen us while we were yet a sinner, but yet Christ died for us when we were still a sinner. You know, if you were God, you wouldn't have aligned it that way. You would not have sent your Son, your only beloved Son, down to the earth to die for a bunch of reprobates. To die for a bunch of people that hated you. To die for a bunch of people that all they were doing was using your name so that they could exert authority over each other in religion. To die for a bunch of people that were murdering other people, that were abusing other people, you would never send your Son there. But in that, while we were yet sinners, enemies to the cross, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. You have the ability, you have the innate God ability to look past other people's mistakes and sins and failures and to declare to them the message of God's goodness. And then to use your love for them, your pure and sincere love, to deliver that message to them in a way that they believe what you're saying. Because having the right message with the wrong heart does not produce. Amen? You can do this. We can do this. We can love people who are unlovable, and we can tell them about a good God when they thought that He used to be a mean God, an ogre, who was just looking to strike them down for every sin they commit. We can release people from sin and failure and misery and produce in them a good God opportunity for love to take place. But it will change the way you speak. And that's hard to do. Amen. Habits are formed by doing things over and over. How do you make good habits? Doing things over and over. You might have to, through gritted teeth, start blessing some folks. I bless you in Jesus' name. You did what? I said I bless you. I don't think you mean it. I know, I'm just doing the word. Oh, man. You know, maybe one day you'll mean it. I really do mean it. It's just hard because right now it's an uphill battle. Well, don't give up on me. Amen? We're all in varying degrees of sanctification. Some of us need more grace than others. You got to give me a lot of grace. Amen? Praise God. So you should give your family and your neighbors. You know, stick with some folks that you know you can give grace to. Don't find the worst person in your whole life and say, well, you know, my pastor just preached a sermon today, so I'm going to... You know, don't. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Don't hunt down the worst one. Go to somebody that you know you can and get forgiveness from and say, you know what, I've spoke some curses over you and I'm sorry. I've not blessed you the way that I was created to bless you and I'm sorry. And from this moment forward, I'm going to bless you. And if you catch me off guard, if I got a bad day, just come and remind me about this moment. And I'm going to do my best to bless you and curse not. I'm an angel of God. I have a message from God, and that message has no curses with it. Amen? All right. Y'all committed to do that? I know that's a big deal. Because there's a lot of folks that you want to curse. You're probably thinking about them right now. You need to release them. Don't let them stay attached to that curse because you want to bless your seed and their seed, and you want to show them the goodness of God. Amen? Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your Spirit. We thank You for Your comfort. We thank You that You've given us the power to do this. We right now, on purpose, forgive and release people from the curses that we've spoken over them or other people have spoken over them and release them into the opportunity to recognize You and have a relationship with You as a good God, a God of light with whom there is no darkness. Lord, we know that You have given us the power and the ability to love one another as You have loved us. That is a tall order, God, but we know that through Your power, through Your inspiration, through your divine empowerment, that that is a possibility for us, and it's actually a command for us to love the way you loved us. Not according to performance, not according to mistakes, not according to missteps, not according to failure, but according to the divine intrinsic value that every single person has that you created. So we are choosing to look past the negatives and to purposefully look at the goodness that's in people, even if they are not showing that by their behavior, by their actions, and by their words. We are choosing to look past the way you looked past us when we came to you to receive forgiveness. We thank you for this opportunity now, Lord. We are taking these truths and putting them in our heart so that they become part of who we are, part of our actual nature. And we do this on purpose, and we do it with the power of God because we are praying with the faith of God. We're praying together in unity, and we are praying in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Find somebody to love now. Don't you know our world needs it? Amen. If anybody needs anything, if you got anything plaguing your mind or body or situation, I'm happy to help you with that. Stay right here.